Thank you so much for your great singing here today. If you would, please remain standing. And if you would like to reach behind you and grab your Bibles and open it up to Genesis chapter 1. As we stay remaining for the reading of God's Word here this morning. Genesis chapter 1, it is the very first book in the Bible, so you shouldn't have any problems finding it. And we will be in chapter 1, which is also the first chapter of the Bible. So we're going to make it easy on you today. Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every cattle, and over every earth, and over every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every tree herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and the morning were the sixth day. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us, Lord. And Lord, as we look today as to figure out ways, Lord, how we can make our life count, Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to live a life of purpose, Lord. Help us to understand what it is that you have called us to do. And help us to live that out for you and for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Make it count. We all want our lives to count for something, do we not? I mean, none of us want to end up with the end of our days and say, "Hey, what was that all about?" That's not what we want. We want our lives to count. We were only given so many hours of a day and so many days in the calendar, and we want our actions to mean something. The search for significance is universal. We all desire to live our lives, to have a positive impact and to make a difference. And I don't know anyone who says, "You know what? I really would like for my life to be meaningless." I don't know anybody who said that. But I've seen a few people who live that way. Haven't you? They may have good intentions, but they maybe wait too late in life in order to make the necessary changes in their life in order to make a positive impact on those around them. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 is a great verse to put to memory, something to keep in the back of our minds as we live out our life. And it says, Hebrews 9, 27, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." If the Lord tarries his coming, we all have an appointment with death. We're not all guaranteed so many years of life here on this earth. And many of you have been touched by death in your lives. And no doubt you have probably thought about your loved ones or about your friends. And you probably think, "Man, they had so much more life to give." You may be thinking in your own mind now that, you know, they just died so young. They had so much more. So we must make the best of what we have. Because this appointment's going to come, and it waits for no one. And we don't know when it's going to come, but we had better be ready. And we notice that what happens after the appointments, once we die, because after this is the judgment, it says. Life just doesn't stop. It doesn't end. There is a judgment that is going to take place afterwards. And so we want to make the best of the time that we have. We want to make a difference while we can. We want to make our lives count because we only have one life to live in this mortal body. And in this series, we will explore many very aspects of different different aspects of life and discover what the Bible says about making each of these areas count. And the Bible is God's instruction book for living. And we want to get practical here this morning and practical over the next few weeks about how we live our lives as Christians. Within the pages of Scriptures, you will find invaluable wisdom that will guide and protect you as you navigate this journey called life. We will examine each life, each area of life, and consider how we can make a significant difference, not only in this earthly existence, but also in our eternal existence as well. And today, we're going to look at the topic of work. How do you make your work count? How do you make your work count? Now, some of you are like saying, Dwayne, come on, it's the weekend. You know, it's the weekend. I don't want to think about work. I mean, this is what we live for, right? Live for the weekends, and we don't have to think about work. And we want to sort of separate the two. Well, let me encourage you with that because we're going to be looking at how that is actually an integral part of our spiritual walk in our life as well. And so I'm going to start out with a very important question here this morning. And I want you to be honest with me here this morning. This is church. I want you to be honest with me. How many of you have ever fallen asleep at work? Raise your hand. This is your time of confession. Here it is. You can get right with God right now. Well, there are some top five reasons that people give when they're caught napping. I thought I'd share this with you. First one is they told me at the blood bank this may happen. Sounds noble, doesn't it? This is just one of those 15-minute power naps they rave about at the time management course you sent me to, boss. Yeah? And this is for you older guys and gals. I guess I left the top off the whiteout. You probably got here just in time. Now, some of you young people, you probably don't know what whiteout is. They use a little correction tape now, but man, I tell you, well, that's some strong stuff. Did you ever notice the sound that comes from these keyboards when you put your ear really close? But here's probably the top of the list and one that is used maybe quite often among Christians here. When you get caught napping, you raise your head very slowly and you say, Amen. All right, enough of that. According to one study, on an average work day, the typical employed person spends 2.5 hours on leisure and sports, 1 hour on household activities, 1 hour eating and drinking, 1.2 hours caring for others, 1.6 hours on other activities, 7.7 hours sleeping, but the biggest slice of the pie chart goes to 8.9 hours of your work day. This is just an average that this study has revealed. For those who are in uni, maybe you're not currently working, but you're a student, and consider your studies as your current workplace, and you can apply these lessons in that setting as well. Start putting into practice these concepts and ideas so that when you graduate and you start your career, you will know how you can make your life count in regards to your workplace. Now, I believe there are some lessons here for everyone, whether you're a student, whether you work outside the home, whether you work from within the home to raise your family. And I believe today you'll find these principles applicable no matter where you're at in your life. Now, the studies show that you're going to spend a lot of time in your workplace. You're going to spend a lot of time of your life working. So let's look at three principles here this morning from God's Word that will help you in your work and help you make your work count. The first one is vocation. Vocation. View your work as God's calling. Vocation. View your work as God's calling. Now, that is vocation, not vacation. Okay? I want to make sure you guys are with me there. It's not vocation, it's vacation. Some of you guys are going to work out and say, view your vacation as God's calling. No, that's not what I'm saying, okay? We'll get into that a little bit later on. But view your vocation as God's calling. Why do we do that? Because God created you to work. God created you to work. In the Bible, it tells us from the very beginning, God created us to work. And as we read in Genesis chapter 1, in the very first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Theologians call this the creation mandate. God created us in his own image and then commanded us to fill the earth and subdue it. This means that we are to work on this planet, that God cares to care for God's creation and to discover the potential that God has built into this earth. We are called to make families and communities and cultures as we fill the earth and subdue it through God's honored mean of work. Now, some people mistakenly think that work came after the fall, that God originally intended us for us to live in the garden and sort of eat fruit off the trees and just kind of chill out and relax, and we just go to hang out in our birthday suits, and, you know, maybe get a little suntan or whatever. You know, they think we just go and relax and have a time of leisure and enjoy ourselves. But a careful reading of the scripture will show just the opposite. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden," what's this, "to tend and keep it." This was before the fall. This was before sin entered into the world. And this was even before the creation of Eve. God took man, and he put him in the garden, expected him to tend it and to keep it. God created mankind to work. He created you to work. And so, you should view your work as God's calling. We even feel better about ourselves when we put in a good day's work, don't we? I mean, let's be honest. You know, you go in there, you work hard, you put in a good day's work, you come home and you feel like, man, I've got something accomplished today. I mean, isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful? I mean, sometimes I'm a little bit frustrated. I get the end of the day, it's like, man, what did I get done today? It's like, I feel like I was sort of busy, but I didn't feel like I got anything accomplished. I feel good when we put in a good hard day's work. We don't have to have that guilt hanging over us that we should have been doing something more. And when you work, you are fulfilling part of God's calling in your life. And of course, we're talking about honest, respectable work here. We're not talking about a career criminal. I mean, you can't be a hitman for Jesus, okay? But think about your occupation as God's calling in your life. And be faithful to that calling until God calls you elsewhere. I know some of you say, I don't like my job. Well, okay, that's fine. I'm glad you don't like your job. Well, I'm not glad you don't like your job, but I understand you don't like your job. But you want to be faithful to that job until God has called you someplace else. God may have you where you are for a season, for his purpose, for his reason. So be faithful until he comes and he moves you. But also, all work is ministry. Part of viewing your work as God's calling is understanding that all work is ministry. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." We often think of ministry as work done within the church rather than the work done in the world. And we divide our life into the sacred and the secular. But God views it all as one. Ministry simply means serving the Lord. You can do that in the church, and I hope you do it in the church. Man, we could use a few more volunteers. We've got some positions open. If you want to come and help out and join us, we'd love for you to come and join us. We could use some people to come in on Saturdays to help get this place ready to go for church on Sunday. We could use some people over in the teachers' ministry, the youth ministry. If you'd like to come up here and sing with us, we'd love for you to be a part of that. If you want to come in the mornings and greet with us, there's a number of areas where you can get involved if you want to get involved. And so we really want people to come and be involved in the church. And we like the volunteers. But you realize that you can also minister in your place of work as well. You can be a minister of the gospel, but you can also be a minister of accounting, minister of childcare, minister of plumbing. I mean, just think of some of the slogans you can use for that, you know, flushing for Jesus or whatever. You know, you can come up with your own slogans. But isn't that great? You can be a minister in your place of work. Martin Luther wrote, "The idea that service to God should only to do with the church altar or singing or reading or sacrificing is without doubt the worst trick of the devil. How could the devil have led us more effectively astray than by the narrowing concept that the service of God takes place only in the church by the works done therein? The whole world could abound with the service to the Lord. Not only in churches, but also in the home, kitchen, workshop, and the field. And Dorothy Sayers also agrees with this. She says, all work done well for God's glory is Christian work. At our church, we have several volunteers, but we have many ministers. We are all ministers as we serve the Lord, both here in the church and also in the place where God has called us to work. In fact, one of the things that we can do as a church is when you are hanging out and having some tea after church, maybe you can go, and I encourage you to do that, by the way. Don't run out after church. Stick around. Let me encourage you to stay and have some tea with us. We usually have some pretty good tea back there. And just engage one another. Talk to one another. Because oftentimes that's where ministry really happens, is in those small groups where you connect with one another and you pray with one another. Let me encourage you to stick around. But as you go and have tea time after church, maybe one of the things that you can sort of ask each other is, hey, where do you minister? Where do you minister? Let's get in that mindset. Let's get in that culture. And I hope you would say, well, I minister at Haven Baptist Church, but also maybe you can minister at your place of business or your home or your neighborhood. I want us to take this ministry mindset out those doors into the world. This is the first principle to lay hold of when making your work count. Don't think of your job as just a job. View your work as God's calling in your life. God created you to work. All work is ministry. But also, notice your service as well. Your service. Who are you serving? Know who your real boss is. Let me encourage you to work as serving the Lord. The following instructions in Ephesians, were originally addressed to the slaves and their masters, but they are certainly applicable to workers and bosses today. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, notice that, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. I can't tell you the number of times when people have come and talked to me, and oftentimes it's about some workplace drama. I mean, you think about the area in your life where you have probably most conflict. Oftentimes it may be in the workplace or it's in the home, because that's where you spend most of your time with those individuals. And oftentimes I have people come to me and they've got a workplace drama. They've got some issues going on at the workplace, whether it's a coworker that they're having trouble with and they're trying to say, you know, how do I handle this situation? What do I do in this case? Or maybe it's oftentimes maybe even senior management as well. You may have a great boss, you may have a terrible boss, but either way, make sure you know who your real boss is. You're serving the Lord. This single principle can transform your workplace attitude when you realize that you are serving God and not just another human being who happens to be over you. Listen, you will work differently. You will begin to see your work as a ministry because you are serving the Lord. And Voskamp writes this about this realism in the context of doing hard work and mothering at home. And this is what she writes. She says, all work is sacred work, worthy of diligence, the effort. I pick up lost Legos. I dry pots. I wish the toilets. And this serves God. For if I can't meet God in my work, then where do I meet him? Are we not called to serve God in the work, not merely in some imagined mirage place outside of work? In the model of Christian work, we live one-piece lives, all weave together into a sacred cloth as unto the Lord, with no false seams between God and our days. And in our work, sacred work, because there is no other such work, there is no such thing as secular work, we first serve God. I'll put away the laundry, I'll sweep the crumbs, polish the windows, not to serve my family primarily, but to serve God. Whether you are a mother, whether you're a contractor, or whether you're a student, whatever your calling in life is, when you go to work, you do it as serving the Lord. Your work takes on a new significance when you do that. Know who your real boss is, and work as serving the Lord. But also you want to work to serve others as well. Because God is your real boss, you not only work to serve Him, but you also must work to serve others as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, it says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Now, according to this verse, your works serve others in two ways. First of all, you do something that is good. You do something that is useful. All work that is honest and moral and lawful will fall under this category of good. And when you work, you are either providing services or products that other people need, or you're providing the basic necessities for yourself. So wherever you work, whatever work you find yourself in, praise God that you have the opportunity to serve others through the good work that you do. But at the same time, you may want to evaluate the work that you're in and the work that you're doing, and maybe you need to ask God, "God, am I using the gifts that you have given me to the fullest here wherever I'm working? Could I serve others better in a different place?" And the Lord may lead you to take some steps of faith. He may lead you to get some additional education or training. Either way, understand that you are to serve others by doing something good within your own self and your own work. And then you have the second way this verse teaches that you should serve others through your work by sharing with those in need. You work, first of all, that you will not be dependent upon others, but God wants you to take that additional step where you order your finances in such a way that you can help others who are in need. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, but then he also said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we don't have a problem taking care of self, most of us, do we? I mean, we get hungry, we go get something to eat. If there's something we want, we go and do it. We go and buy it. We go and get whatever we desire. We don't have a problem taking care of ourselves. But why don't you take that same concept and look at others in that same light? Now, there has to be a fine line, of course, in regards to this, because there are so many people out there who choose not to work. And they just got their hand out the whole time. And, of course, we see Proverbs. Proverbs tells us that if you don't work, you don't eat. And so sometimes, you know, we have to be careful that we don't get in God's way and we start removing the consequences that God has put in place by helping others because of their lack of work, because they choose not to work. But there are times that there are some people that, because of something that happened beyond their control, they're in need and they're struggling. And they need us to come along and give them a hand and help them out. And Jesus, that's his commandment here, is to love the Lord, but also to love others as well. And the two come together when you view your work as a service to God and also as a service to others. But to do this, you've got to know who your real boss is. Work is serving the Lord, but also work to serve others as well. But then we have the third area here, and that is witness. And I think this is a very important area. What does your witness look like at work? Because how your work matters. How you do your work matters in regards to your witness. And so therefore, one of the things that we should be doing is we should work hard. We should work hard. The Bible tells us to work hard. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, it says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." Now, some of you who own businesses, and maybe this might be a verse you might want to put up in the office, right? In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty, okay? If you want to keep this job, well, then you need to work, right? And a little less chatter, a little more action, right? But also Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Basically, God is saying here, hey, listen, when you do your work, work hard. Work hard. Part of your witness at work is doing a good job. Take initiative. Be responsible. Follow through. Go the extra mile. Do things that no one else is willing to do. Work hard at your job and earn a reputation for excellence. You will feel better about your work. You will be a good witness to others. And you will be surprised how God will bless you when you work hard at the task that he sets before you. All hard work begins with you understanding who your real boss is and that you are there to represent him All hard work brings a profit, but it also enhances your witness. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Even Jesus himself understood that he had a set number of days in which he was to work. Every day we live our lives is one step closer to the grave. Now, I don't say that to be morbid here this morning, but I want you to understand that we only have a limited time here on this planet. We only have a limited time here on this earth. Remember, there's an appointment coming. So let's make it count. Allow your light to shine through the hard, diligent work that you do. Work as if you were working for the Lord, because you are. You are working for the Lord. Whether you realize it or not, you are working for the Lord. And your witness is a reflection of that. And so, therefore, we need to work with integrity. We looked at Colossians chapter 3 when we were talking about your work as a ministry or a service for the Lord. Now, I want to revisit this verse in the context of working with integrity. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, bond servants, obey and all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The literal translation of this phrase here, do it heartily, actually is out of the soul. Out of the soul. From deep within. In other words, genuine and from within. Not merely an outward pretense here. If more Christian employees today served their employers with genuine concern and as though they were serving God, quality and productivity would increase dramatically. We should work with integrity. It is one thing to work hard when your boss is looking at you and has his or her eyes on you. But what do you do when no one's watching? That's where integrity comes in. Be honest in your work. Be above board with your boss and with your clients and in all your transactions. Integrity means that you are the same person in private as you are in public. Hey, listen, if you wouldn't steal when there's somebody that's over there watching you, well, then you won't steal when you're by yourself. When you won't waste time when your boss is standing there in front of you, then you won't waste time when you're by yourself. Integrity means that you are a whole person. You are not one person in one situation and a different person in another situation. And if you are a whole person, then you will work with a whole heart. You will work with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, because it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Work with integrity. It is part of your Christian witness. And as a result, you will receive your reward from the Lord. Now, you may get overlooked. You may get passed over in your job despite your integrity. But God sees it. He knows. And this will be reflected in the inheritance that you will receive from him. The final payday comes from the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 25 says, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. God doesn't show favoritism. You reap what you sow. And if you do right, you'll be rewarded. If you do wrong, then your sins will find you out. And when you work for the Lord, you get the Lord's reward, and you maintain your godly witness to others. But also, we are to work for the glory of God. We are to work for the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What a great verse that is. Whatever you do, whatever your hand finds to do, you do all for the glory of God. Now, if you are involved in things or you're doing things that you can't do for the glory of God, then maybe you should be questioning as to whether you should be doing it. Because we are to do all things for the glory of God. God created you to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. And one way you glorify him is at church when you go and worship him and you become part of the body of Christ. But you were also called to glorify him in your work. So work hard. Work with integrity. Do a good job and gain a good reputation. But do it not for your own glory, but for the glory of God. When your boss or your coworker or your client comes and they compliment you on the work that you do, well, then thank them. But then go that extra step and give God the glory. You can say something along the lines like, you know, thank you, that means a lot to me, but I really need to thank God. He is the one that helps me. He is the one that I should be giving the praise. He is the one that's given me the ability. He's the one that's given me the brains. He's the one that's given me the talent to do what it is that I do. The composer, Johann Sebastian Bach, signed all of his works to the glory of God alone. I like that. To the glory of God alone. We need to find creative ways to make our signature on all our work that we do, to God be the glory. And don't be afraid to share Jesus either. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let people know that you're a Christian and that your faith in Jesus affects your whole life, including the way that you work. Let them know that you do what you do because you were doing it for the Lord. And look for appropriate opportunities to share Christ with your boss, your coworkers, your clients, your family, your fellow students, your kids at home. And notice I talked about the appropriate opportunities. Whenever I was in Bible college, I was looking for a job in physical therapy. And man, I went through all the hospitals, I went through all the rehab places, and in fact, I even talked to one guy. He says, man, I wish you were here last week. I just hired a girl. I mean, you'd have been here. You know, I would have hired you, but it's too late. I've already hired somebody. And I'm sort of thinking, okay, God, you know, you want me here at Bible college, and you know, I kind of need a job here, and I really would like to have gotten a job that's sort of in the field that I enjoy, but obviously that's not your will, but I do have some bills coming in, so I need a job. And so I began to ask around campus and talk to different people and say, hey, I need a job. You know, anybody that's hiring? And one guy said, oh, yeah, you got to come work over with me in this restaurant. I said, what's going on? He says, man, I've been there for 5 years, and those people, man, they don't like Jesus. In fact, I've been trying to move up in the leadership, and man, they just keep persecuting me. They won't let me move up, and it's a mission field. You got to come help me out. I was like, you know what? I need a job. I don't care. So I went there and I applied and talked to the boss there, and he was telling me that, hey, you know what? I'd love to hire you, but I can't. And I was like, oh, here it is. You know, I'm going to Bible college. I guess that you know, you're not going to hire me. He says you're overqualified. I said, what? He says, you're overqualified. You're not going to like the job here. I said, mate, I don't care. I need a job. I got bills coming in. I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You just tell me what you want me to do. And he says, all right. So he took a chance on me, and so I became a prep cook, believe it or not. And it's not my first field. It's not something that I really enjoyed, but I was a prep cook for a while, and then we had an opportunity to maybe move up and take some testing so I can move up the ladder. And so I said, all right, we'll try this out. So I went and took a test, and I said, yeah, come on out, you know. And so I took a test, and they bumped me up the ladder. And I said, oh, that wasn't too bad. And then time came again, and I took another test, and I bumped up the ladder again, and I bumped up the ladder again. And I thought, man, what's this guy talking about, the persecution that he's enduring? And then what I find out is that this guy ain't being persecuted. Basically, he was a sorry sod that just sat on his backside and didn't do any work. And nobody wanted to work with him. And so therefore, he wasn't able to make up the leadership because they didn't want him in a leadership position. And so this is what I'm talking about. When it's an appropriate opportunity to share your faith, then share your faith. But for heaven's sake, do the work that you're paid to do. Don't sit there and go and say, this is my mission field, and therefore you're just going to go and, I mean, unless you're a chaplain or something, you can do that. But if you're there to work, make sure you work, because it's a testimony. It's a witness to those. And then you have the opportunity to share Christ with others because of your respect, because they respect the work of you. Work hard and be a witness. Be a witness in your workplace. And even in that situation there, it was not something that I wanted to do. I wanted to go and work in physical therapy. But one day after work, I was hanging out, and we were leaving, and I saw the dishwasher out there. And so I struck up a conversation with him, and he was needing a ride home. I said, hey, look, I'll give you a ride home. Jump in. So he jumped in the car with me, and I had an opportunity to share Christ with him. And he received Jesus Christ as Savior that night. A week later, I got a call from the hospital saying, hey, we got a position for you. You want to come? You see, God had me there for a reason. God had me there for that season. And so let me encourage you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what workplace you're involved with. And maybe it's work that you really don't care for. Maybe it's work you really don't like. But God has you there for a reason. And that is to be a witness to those in your circle of influence. Do you want your work to matter? Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to leave your mark? Then understand these three vital principles from Scripture here. Vocation. View your work as God's calling. God created you to work. All work is ministry. Service. Know who your real boss is. Work as serving the Lord. Work as serving others. And witness. How you work matters. Work as work hard and work with integrity. Work to the glory of God. Make your life count by working with purpose. Work with meaning. Make a life count in your work. If you're not working for the Lord because you don't know the Lord is your Savior, I would love the opportunity to talk with you this week. I would love the opportunity after the service or set up an appointment with you this week to show you how you can be saved. In fact, this is a great week to do that because next week is going to be baptism. And I'd love for you to follow in obedience after you come and know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so I'd love the opportunity to talk with you and show you how you can be saved. But let's get busy working for Jesus and making our lives count. Why? Because we only have one life to live. So let's make it count. Let's make it count in our workplace. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And Lord, as we think about our workplace. And as we think about the opportunity to share our faith with others, and Lord, that we are to be your representatives. And sometimes when we sort of get out of church and we may end up in the workplace, sometimes we may let that slip a little bit. Sometimes we may excuse ourselves and we behave in a manner that isn't glorifying to you, Lord. And we sort of just chalk it up as well, you know, that's just kind of the workplace. But Lord, I pray that we be honoring you. And Lord, even when we go to work, that we will do so for your glory and for your honor so that we can make our lives count. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray.